Well, it's great to be here tonight. I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for having me preach for y'all, and thank you for everybody showing up on this Sunday night. So with that, we'll just get right into the message. We're here right in Philippians chapter 2. And I want to go back over a couple of the verses we just read. We're going to start in verse number 5. Philippians 2, verse 5, the Bible reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse number 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The title of the message tonight is, "His Name is Jesus." His name is Jesus. And the message is going to just be talking about the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you'd be surprised to believe that there's actually an attack out there in the world, an attack on the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. There's thousands of people. There's huge movements of people that are trying to corrupt and change the name of our Lord and Savior. And tonight, I want to make strong our foundation. I mean, this is one of the most basic foundations of Christianity, who our Savior is, who the Lord is, and there's an attack on that. There's an attack on every part of the gospel, and if there's one thing we should be sure on is the name of our God. And that's why it might be pretty hard for you to imagine, like, there's people out here who actually want to change the name of Jesus. Yes, there's a huge movement of people trying to change that name. And we'll go into some specifics later, but first I want to build a foundation. Let's see what the Bible actually says. Before we start addressing what everybody's talking about in the world and the attacks they're going to put on Christianity, what does the Bible actually say? Because we believe in the Bible in here, don't we? We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. We believe this is inspired. We believe this is perfect. So whatever it says, that's what goes. Look what it says right there. It's talking about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One thing we can learn from this passage, that Jesus is God. He is equal with God. And he humbled himself. When he came down to this earth, he humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Whenever he was on this earth, his whole mission was to minister to other people and eventually to go to the cross. He was crucified. He died and resurrected to pay for all of our sins. That was his mission here on earth. And because he did that, it says in verse number 9, "Wherefore," because Jesus Christ did this, "wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." So because Jesus Christ did that, because he made that ultimate sacrifice, God the Father given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So because Jesus Christ did that, God the Father gave Jesus Christ glory. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Whether you do that now, while you're still on this earth, you can confess him now and get saved now and believe now, and you're good. You're saved, right? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And God the Father says, eventually every knee is going to bow. Whether you do it now or later, whether it be on things on earth or things under the earth, one day you will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. If you want to reject that name now, fine. But when you're in hell and God takes you out and you're standing before him at the great white throne judgment, you're going to bow and you're going to say, Jesus is Lord. One day you will confess his name, whether it be here on this earth or after you're in hell, and then you eventually get cast to the lake of fire. But one day, every tongue, it made a promise right there. Didn't it say there in verse number 11? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look, these atheists today, they say they don't want to believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. They don't believe God exists. They say that now. But one day, they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God the Father is going to receive glory for that. I told you, one day they're going to see that they were wrong. And they're going to have to suffer for all eternity for that. So a couple things we can learn from this passage here in Philippians chapter 2. Number one, the Bible says that Jesus is equal with God. Jesus is God. And his name is above every name. Why does it include his name? Like, why is it so important? If his name doesn't matter, why does the Bible emphasize this so much? Like, God gave, who gave Jesus Christ his name? God. God the Father. It says, and given him a name. God the Father gave Jesus Christ his name. I think it's important. He says, every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that's some great doctrine we can get just from this one passage. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Now, why am I preaching this tonight? Because this is a doctrine that affects salvation. And salvation is the most important doctrine. Because if you get everything else wrong, right, but you have salvation wrong, it's all vanity. If you have all the riches in the world, you got all the right doctrine, but then you don't have salvation, you go to hell, that's pretty vain, wasn't it? So salvation is the number one thing, and that's why I'm preaching this tonight, because when people attack salvation, they attack our Savior, they attack the gospel, that's something we need to be ready to defend. And you might not have heard of this doctrine out there where people are attacking the name of Jesus, and I want everybody in here to be prepared to when you hear people say that, no, you'll be able to show them the scriptures yourself. Like, no, it says right here, Philippians chapter 2, the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Acts chapter 4, here, verse number 10. Look at what it says. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is he preaching right here? He's saying, look, you crucified Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and God raised him from the dead, and this is that stone you set at naught. You rejected the Savior, you didn't believe in him, and he's become the head of the corner. He's at the top now, and he's there is no salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other way you can be saved. There's no other name under heaven. No other God can save you. And that's the name of God. That's the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and no other name can save you. So it's really important what name you call upon. If you call upon the wrong God, sorry, no salvation. If you call on the wrong person, the right person isn't going to answer you. If you call me by a name that's not my name, are you going to get my attention? My name's Duncan. I'm just going to use my brother since he's here. If you call me Ryan, if you're my mom or dad, you call me Ryan. Right? Parents get that mixed up, right? If you call me Ryan, I'm not going to answer you. Right? I'm just going to be standing here and say, hey, Ryan, I'm not even going to pay any attention because that's not my name. That's not who I am. Right? You call upon the wrong God, the right God's not going to answer you. You better know his name. You better know who the Lord is. And God revealed himself in the Old Testament. He plagued Egypt that his name would be spread out through all nations, that everybody would know the Lord God Almighty, that everybody would know the name of Jehovah. God revealed himself to the whole world. He wants everybody to know what his name is. Go ahead and turn to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. So it's really important that we get his name right, because in Acts chapter 4, it said there's none other name where we can be saved. So this is very important that we get his name right. In Matthew chapter 1, this is where God, I'm just going to read it for you, you're going to turn there, but this is where God gave Jesus Christ his name. He actually commanded it. In Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read for you verse 20. Actually, let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 1, sorry about that. Matthew chapter 1. And verse number 20, Matthew 1, verse number 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. So the angel of the Lord is from the Lord. So who's the one giving Mary and Joseph this message? God. God's using the messenger. He's using the angel as a messenger. And what name did he call the son? The son that's going to save the people from their sins? The Savior? What did he call him? Jesus. says, you're going to call his name Jesus. He didn't just make it up. This name just didn't come out of nowhere. No, God given him the name that's above every name. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it says, Jesus, he's going to be the one to save us from our sins. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. I want to read for you some other verses that are foundational for what we believe. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is referring about God the Father and Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's why we believe in the Trinity. We have God the Father, and we have the Word, Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. These three make up one God, right? It says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's only begotten of the Father? Who's the only Son of God? Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. So this is a proof text that Jesus Christ is God. He's not God the Father. He's with God the Father because they're separate persons. Again, that's why we believe in the Trinity. It says in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's the God we worship, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved. If you believe in a different God, if you believe in a oneness God, or you believe in the God of Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, look, that's the wrong God. There's no salvation for you. And if you got the name of your God wrong, look, you got the wrong God. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. It's only by his name that we can be saved. In Hebrews 1:8 says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. This is important. Because if Jesus Christ is God, and you got to call upon him, look, if he is God, he's the only way to get to heaven. That's why this is so important. It's like, if he's God, if Jesus Christ is God, and there's no other way to get to heaven, this is very important. So we can't just believe in any God we want, right? And it says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. It's all talking about Jesus Christ. It says that God was manifest in the flesh. So these are just some proof texts just to show you that Jesus Christ is God. And it's funny to me because a lot of people who say that Jesus is not the Messiah, or they'll say Jesus is not the name of the Savior, and they want to make up all these other names like Yahshua and you know, they'll say Yahweh and, you know, Yahshua, whatever name. It's always changing. Who knows what the next name they're going to come up with. But it's interesting because a lot of these people who want to preach that and they'll say Jesus is not, that's not the name of the Savior. Most of these people, they reject the Trinity. They reject that Jesus Christ is God. So that's just more evidence of the fact that they're not saved. They worship a different God. It says in John 14:6, we're going to get to Romans in a minute, but John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It says, you can't get to God the Father, you can't get him without me, without Jesus, right? If you don't have Jesus Christ, how are you going to get to the Father? It ain't going to happen. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we receive salvation. Go ahead and you're in Romans 10. So without Jesus Christ, you cannot go to the Father. So again, why is this so important? This is a salvation issue. This is a salvation issue because if people are wrong about God or how you get to heaven, what must you do to be saved, if they believe in a works-based salvation, they're going to be damned to hell. And that's the worst possible punishment you could get, going to hell forever. So I take it pretty seriously because if people are going to preach damnable heresy, here's the difference between heresy and damnable heresy. Heresy is something that's wrong. Heresy is a lie, right? So Christians are capable of preaching any kind of heresy. That heresy is a lust of the flesh. Damnable heresy is heresy that affects salvation. Damnable heresy is like saying that Jesus Christ is not God. Damnable heresy is saying that You're saved by repenting of your sins. That's damnable heresy. And so for people to preach damnable heresy, that's just evidence of the fact that they're not saved. So if somebody's going to be teaching that the name of our Savior is not Jesus, I consider that damnable heresy. And you notice a lot of what these people who bring that subject up and say the name of our Savior is not Jesus, they normally all believe in a works-based salvation. They normally all reject the Trinity. Lo and behold, oh wait, they're not even saved. Look, you start examining these people's doctrine, you're going to find out really quick that they're not even saved. You're in Romans 10. This is a very familiar verse. Look at what it says in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When you confess to God the Father, what name do you use? The Lord Jesus. You might look over this because you're just used to the fact, you know, just people calling upon the Lord. You're trying to lead them to the Lord, and pray with them, right, and help them to confess to God. But what are they confessing? What are they believing in their heart? The Lord Jesus. That's who they're putting their faith in. If you're putting your faith in any other Lord, you got the wrong Lord. And that's why it's only by the name of Jesus. That's who you have to confess. How are you going to get saved without confessing Jesus Christ is Lord? Like I said earlier, you're going to have to do that now or later. You might as well do it now so you can get saved. Go ahead and turn to John 14, not far from Romans. John chapter 14. So to be saved, you must confess that Jesus is Lord. And the Bible makes so much emphasis on the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's mentioned so much in our Bibles. Jesus even said this in John chapter number 14. Look at verse number 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask, look at this, in my name, that will I do, that the Son may be glorified, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. They say, look, if you pray through me to God the Father, then I'll do it. See, but it has to be in his name. Again, if you don't have his name right, how are you going to your prayers aren't going to get to the Father. You're calling upon the wrong person. It's not going to get through. You got bad reception. You need to go to a different spot. So it's by his name. That's where the power is. You pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what gives you the power. If you don't got the name of Jesus Christ, you ain't got no power. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 10, not too far, John chapter number 10. So to be saved, you must confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's why I believe these people want to say that the name of our Savior is not Jesus, and they reject the name of Jesus. Well, they didn't do Romans 10:9, because Romans 10:9 said you got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So if you're rejecting, you say Jesus is not the name of our Savior, then you're pretty much telling me you didn't do Romans 10:9. You didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I don't think these people are saved. I'm going to read for you Ephesians 4:4. The Bible says, "For there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Look, so there's only one God and there's only one Lord. And if you got to confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there's only one Lord and there's one God, guess what that means? Jesus Christ is God. That's why I also had you turn to John 10, because this will give us a better understanding of the Trinity, how we can have one Lord and one God and Father of all. How does this happen? How can you have Jesus Christ as Lord, and then you have God the Father? He's our Lord. He's the Lord Almighty. How can they be compatible? That's where we get the Trinity. It says in John chapter 10, look at verse number 30. I and my Father are one. He didn't say, I am the Father. No. He said, I and my Father, because they're separate persons. He said, but we're one, because he's equal with God. They're one. They're both God, and that's why we believe in the Trinity. Go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians. Actually, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. So what we've learned so far in the sermon that, hey, Jesus Christ is God, that every tongue is going to confess to him eventually, and the only way to get to heaven, the only way to get to God the Father is through the name of Jesus Christ. And if somebody denies that Jesus Christ is Lord, then they're going to go to hell forever. I'm going to read for you 2 Thessalonians 1:8. It says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The Bible says that anybody that doesn't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be punished with everlasting fire. If you reject the Lord Jesus, there's no hope for you. You will go to hell. It's a guarantee. If you reject the Messiah, if you reject the Christ, God will take his vengeance out on you forever in hell. And that should drive fear into the hearts of the people who are not saved. When they hear this, they should be like, wow, I'm going to go to hell forever if I don't believe this, if I don't obey the gospel. And what does it mean to obey the gospel? That just means to believe. God commanded us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do that, then we've obeyed the gospel. False prophets want to try and teach that, well, you got to obey the gospel, so they'll say that's by works. That's not what it means. Salvation is not of works, Ephesians 2:8-9. I don't really want to dive too much into that. But it says if we reject the gospel of our Lord Jesus, it's very specific, Jesus Christ. It uses the name Jesus Christ. If we reject that, not saved. There's no salvation. So there's only one way to heaven. That's through the name of Jesus Christ. And if you reject him, you will be damned forever. Because the world has this philosophy. The world is just ecumenical. See, they don't want to preach anything true. They just want to be so liberal with their beliefs. Whatever God you worship, that's fine. Especially like Hindus, if you've ever been out soul winning, they'll say that they believe in Jesus. Lots of religions say, we all worship the same God. There's many paths to heaven. If you heard Oprah, there's like a clip of her saying like, there's many paths to heaven. Like we all kind of worship the same God. That doesn't sound like the Bible. That sounds like the devil. Those are devils speaking out of her mouth. That's not the gospel. The Bible says you got to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't say, well, you can worship Allah or the God of Buddhists or the God of Muslims. It doesn't say that. No, it says the Lord Jesus. There's none other name whereby we must be saved. So all these people, they worship false gods. And let me tell you, if you worship a false god, you have no hope of salvation. These are all false religions that will send you to hell. Only Christianity will be able to get you to heaven. But here's the thing. Even amongst Christians, so-called, because biblically speaking, if you're a Christian, you're saved. They call them Christians because they believed on Jesus Christ. But now that term is just so vague, it's so loose that most Christian denominations refer to themselves as Christians. And that's where we gotta make that separation. And I love the fact whenever you run across a Catholic and you ask them, so are you a Christian? I love it when they say no. Because at least they understand the difference that they're not a Christian. Catholics are not Christian. Mormons are not Christian. Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christian. Methodists are not Christian. Pentecostals, they're not Christian. I don't care what denomination it is, they're not Christian. They can call themselves Christians, but they're not. Look, even a lot of Baptist churches, I don't care if it's a Baptist church, if they got the wrong gospel, they're not Christian. They can call themselves Christian, but if they teach repent of your sins, they're not Christian. They're not saved. If they don't believe Jesus Christ is Lord, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, they're not a Christian. They put their faith in the wrong God. They have believed in vain. Whatever they believed in is in vain. It didn't profit them anything. So even amongst Christians, most aren't even going to be saved. Christians, loosely, I need to put up the quotation mark because we use the term Christian, but that's pretty much the world's definition of a Christian. I want to refer to Christians as saved people. You are Christians. You have put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're not trusting in your works. You understand the gospel. You are Christians. But these people, they're worshiping false gods. And that's why I had you turn to Galatians 1, because Paul warns of people preaching another gospel. Let me see here. Let's start in verse number 6. Paul says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul is saying here, he started these churches in Galatia. So I believe they're saved. I mean, why is he writing an epistle to the Galatians to a bunch of unsaved people? These are saved people. So he's writing it to them. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Saying because, and I don't think these people got mixed up on salvation, because a saved person, I don't care what anybody says, a saved person is never going to get mixed up on the gospel. A saved person is never going to tell you that salvation's by works. It's not going to happen. Now, a saved person might say something that's wrong, or they have the wrong definition of something. For example, say if you ask a person, and they say, or you ask them, what do you have to do to go to heaven? And they say, well, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, okay, it's pretty good sign, right? They say, all you got to do is believe. And I say, well, do you have to do anything else? And they say, well, you also got to repent of your sins. You need to pin them down on that. Because some people's repent of your sins, most of them, from my understanding, most people's definition of repent of your sins is wrong. Most people's definition is you got to turn from your evil way, you got to serve God, you got to do whatever. You got to do works of some kind. You got to give up drinking, you got to give up smoking, or whatever may have you. So that's most people's definition. But I've also found saved people, they'll say repent of your sins, but what they mean by that, they just mean like confess your sins, or just like admit you're a sinner. So it's really, we need to really pinpoint people down. What do you mean by repent of your sins? Most people are going to say, well, turn from your evil way, quit sinning. But you still need to ask everybody this, what do you mean by repent of your sins? And if they tell you, well, you know, it's just confessing you're a sinner. Well, yeah, that person's saved. They're just saying something, you know, that's off. They're not right on that. So the reason I even bring that up, because I don't think these people are mixed up on salvation in Galatians. What I believe is that they are just tolerating works-based salvation. What if a church just got super liberal and they just start letting repent of your sins preachers come in your church? That's what I believe Paul is rebuking, that they're having repent of your sins preachers come in, or maybe there's unsaved people in their church. It's not like they got mixed up on salvation. They know salvation. They know it's by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they're tolerating works-based salvation. They're getting ecumenical. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Like, what are you doing? Why are you allowing these false prophets to come in this church? Why are you allowing unsaved people to come in this church and preach a works-based salvation? Like, what are you doing? So these people aren't mixed up on salvation. Believers don't get mixed up on salvation. Believers always know it's by faith. You're never going to convince me that I got to do any good works to get to heaven. You're not going to get mixed. I don't care how backslidden you get. A backslidden Christian, I don't care how far away he is away from the Lord, if you ask him how to be saved, he's always going to say it's by faith. If he says it's ever by works, then he didn't really get saved. Maybe he just didn't understand in the first place. So I wanted to bring that up in Galatians 1. But he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed to him from the grace of God into another gospel. Because there's people preaching another gospel. They're preaching a works-based salvation. And he says it's not another, because there's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever they're preaching, it's not another gospel. It's like the Mormons, they have, you know, another testament of Jesus Christ. It's not another. It's not another testament of Jesus Christ. We only got the New Testament. That's it. You know, the Holy Spirit didn't come talk to Joseph Smith. You know, that was the devil, whatever they got their little book there. Their rock is not our rock. Amen. So Paul said, it's not another. But there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. So there's people coming in here, they want to try and pervert the gospel of Christ. But he says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He says, if somebody comes in here preaching another gospel, don't receive him. He said, it doesn't even matter if it's me. He says, though we. He says, if I come to you preaching another gospel than what you originally heard, let me be accursed. He's saying, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If somebody's going to try and preach another gospel, let him be damned to hell. That's what it means to be accursed, damned to hell. Because here's the thing, if they're coming to you preaching a works-based salvation, and they're coming to you preaching a false gospel, they're trying to damn you to hell. If you believe the wrong gospel, you're going to be damned to hell. So if somebody comes to you bringing you another gospel, another Jesus, let them be accursed. Let them be damned to hell. Don't receive them. Don't be friends with them. Don't hang out with them. They're trying to preach you another gospel. Obviously, you're never going to be damned to hell. You're saved. But you could be like the Church of Galatians, where you start tolerating that and start being friends with that and get lukewarm and watered down. And eventually, you know, it'll be like the Galatians church. It's just filled with unsaved people. So, if anybody's going to preach another gospel, let them be accursed. And I think that goes along with the name of Jesus. If they're trying to preach to you another Jesus, let them be accursed. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Because Paul warns about people preaching another gospel, but he also warns of people preaching another Jesus. And here's the thing. If it's another gospel, it's not the real gospel. If it's another Jesus, it's not the real Jesus. If they're changing the name of Jesus, it's not the Jesus we worship. They can use the same name, Jesus. It's a different God. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." We might well bear with him. What does it mean to bear with him? That you'll be able to fight against that. You'll be able to defend against that false doctrine. He's saying if somebody's going to come in here and preach another Jesus, he says, since you know the gospel, since you know the truth, since you know good doctrine, you're going to be able to bear well with him. Like, no, that's not the truth. Oh, you're trying to preach another gospel? No, I'm not going to receive that. Get out of here. Get away from me. I don't want to be around you because you're preaching another Jesus. And that's what I believe this movement of people, like the Sacred Name movement and the Hebrew Roots movement and these people, they're trying to Judaize Christianity and they're trying to change the name of our Savior. They're preaching another Jesus. And I don't want to receive that. Look, the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, don't mess with that name. That's the name of my Savior. That's the God who got me saved, my Lord and Savior, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is precious to me. If you're going to start calling him another name, look, let you be accursed. You're going to say that I need to call, and eventually if you follow their road, eventually they want you to fully reject the name of Jesus Christ. That's where it ends up. See, they want to just, I'm getting ahead of myself in this sermon, but that's the end goal of people trying to change the name of our Savior. They're trying to get you to worship a different God. They're trying to corrupt you. They're trying to hinder your walk with God. So there's only one way to be saved, but there's many ways to be damned. That's what we can tell from a lot of the verses we just read here. Look, there's many ways to be damned. If you deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're going to be damned. Right? What does it say in Romans 10:9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to believe that God raised him from the dead. You got to believe in the resurrection. So anybody that denies the resurrection, they're damned. They're not saved. If you deny Jesus being the Son of God, you're damned. I don't care how much people say they love God and they love the Bible. If they don't believe he's the Son of God, they're damned. If you think Jesus was a sinner, you're damned. Any doctrine that affects salvation, the deity of Christ, who God is, you're damned. You got to believe the scriptures. You got to believe the Bible. And if you want to deny that the name of our Savior is Jesus Christ, you're damned. You're worshiping another God. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, if you're pretty close, you can flip there. I'm going to go ahead and read it, though. In verse number 3, it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." It says nobody that has the Spirit of God is going to call Jesus Christ accursed. They're not going to blaspheme his name like that. So if somebody is going to come to you preaching another Jesus, look, that's not the Spirit of God. Nobody who's saved is going to tell you that Jesus is not the name of the Messiah. Nobody is going to say that who is saved. Unsaved people will try to lead you away from that. They're going to say his name, the Messiah's name is not Jesus Christ. But no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed is going to blaspheme his name like that or reject his name like that. And like I said, there's a movement of people trying to change the name of our Lord. And you might have heard this out. This is getting pretty popular now. I hear it out in soul winning occasionally. It's not all the time. And they're pretty secretive about it. But you might hear them slip up. Instead of saying Jesus, they'll say Yahshua. Or they'll say Yeshua. But since they know you believe Jesus is Lord, they're going to appease you and just use the name Jesus. But really, that's the name they want to use. They want to call upon Yahshua or Yeshua. And how it differs between them, Yahweh, as far as I know, that's referring to God the Father in their eyes, and Yeshua is referring to the Son. So that's a little bit of difference there. And so they'll sometimes refer to Yeshua or Yahshua. But normally these people who try to do that, normally they're all Judaizers, they're rabbis. Do you really want a rabbi to teach you anything? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. So these rabbis, these Hebrew Roots movement people, these sacred name people, those are the ones who are trying to corrupt the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And first of all, if we look in the Bible, number one, it's a perfect inspired word of God. So we don't need to go and learn Hebrew and Greek, and we don't need to go, look, it's plain and clear right here. We got the word of God. We don't need to go to all these false teachers and go talk to the rabbi and to understand the Bible. We got the Bible in English. God gave it to us. I think we can figure it out. Don't we have the Spirit of God? Now, first of all, in the King James Bible, the name of Jesus is used 983 times in your New Testament. Over 900 times the name Jesus is used. So now if somebody's going to say that the name of our Savior is not Jesus Christ, they're pretty much saying there's over 900 mistakes in the King James Bible. So by them using another name for the name of our Savior, they're pretty much blaspheming the Word of God. They're saying that this is not the Word of God. They're saying this is not true. Because if you're saying that His name is not Jesus, and it has all these wrong names for the Savior, that would mean it's not the true Word of God. So they're attacking the deity of Christ. They're attacking the Word of God. They're attacking the gospel. And we believe the King James Bible is the perfect inspired Word of God. And there are zero mistakes in the King James Bible. Now, these other false versions of English, yeah, of course they're filled with mistakes. But the King James Bible is the perfect inspired Word of God. And is God not capable of inspiring His Word? Is God not capable of preserving His Word? Doesn't He want us to know the gospel? Doesn't He want us to know the name of our Savior? Like, do you think we've just been saying His name wrong all these years? He just doesn't want us to know? And now, all of a sudden, these people want to go back to these Hebrew roots. Oh, look at these gods. Look at this over here. Look, we found this new name for you to call upon. Look, that's not the truth. They're just trying to deceive you. It says in Psalm, just to prove that the King James Bible is the Word of God, go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. I'm going to read for you a few verses really quick. But in Psalm 12:6, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." The Bible says, these are the pure words of God. They've been tried. They've been tested. They're purified. They're holy. God purified them. And who's responsible for keeping this word pure? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. It's God's responsibility to keep His word. And He promised it's going to be from this generation forever. God's never going to let His word be corrupt. There's always going to be a true word of God out there in the world. That's His promise in the scriptures. You either believe that or not. And I believe this is inspired by God. I believe God wrote that. I believe God inspired the palmist. You heard Joe Biden. That just came to me while I was thinking about that. It's Psalms, okay? The book of Psalms. It's funny, these politicians, they don't know anything about the Bible. So that's nice. So it says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." God's the one responsible for keeping His word preserved. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." He's just thankful because he says, when we came to you to preach the Bible, you didn't receive it like it's the word of men. You didn't receive it like, oh, you know, it's just Paul talking. Ah, look at Paul again. No, he didn't. They didn't receive it like that. Know what he said? You received it like it is, like the word of God, like it's the truth. They received it with all readiness of mind. He's just thankful for that because it is the word of God. Whenever he's preaching to them, he's glad that they received it like it's the word of God, because the Bible is the word of God. This is true. This is what God gave to us so we would know how to live, how to get saved, and we would know the truth. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Look, man didn't write this book. I understand they physically pinned it down, but it's not their words. They're not the author of it. The Holy Spirit. They gave them the words to speak. And he says, if you think you're spiritual, you think you're a prophet, then you better realize, you better understand that the Bible, this is the commandments of the Lord. It's not just a man coming up with these things. This is the word of God. God gave us So if these people want to say that they're spiritual, but they don't believe the Bible is true, they don't believe the Bible is inspired, they're not spiritual. They're not religious. They don't love God if they don't love His Word. So we have to have that foundation first that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And if you deny this as Scripture, you're not saved. If you can hear this book, you say, yeah, this is not the Word of God. This is not perfect. You're not saved. I'm going to give you some proof text. You're in John chapter 8. Look at verse number 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Jesus Christ is preaching to these people, and they don't receive it. He said, if you were of God, you would hear God's word. But you don't hear them not, because you're not of God. He also rebuked the Pharisees later. He says, you're of your father, the devil. There's like unsaved people. They don't hear the words of God. They can't understand the Bible. They're never going to read the Bible on their own and get saved because they're not of God. You have to be born of the Spirit to understand God's word. You have to be saved to understand God's word. An unsaved person isn't going to understand the Bible. It's not going to happen. It says in John chapter 10, verse number 27, Jesus speaking here. If you want to turn there, John chapter 10, verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He's referring to saved people, his sheep. It says, they hear my voice. You're able to hear God's word if you're saved. The unsaved people, they reject God's word. They don't believe God's word. And that's why I say, if people say that this is not the perfect word of God, if they don't believe the King James Bible, they're not saved. They don't hear God's word. They hear biblical preaching and say, that's not the word of God. That's not the commandments of the Lord. They're not saved. They don't hear the voice of the shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know when it's me. They know when I'm calling because they recognize the voice of the shepherd because they're my sheep. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man, the unsaved person, he can't understand the things of God. You preach them anything from the Bible, it just goes right over their head. Because the natural man, the unsaved person, they can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God to be able to understand the Bible. So that's why people who say that this is not a word of God, they're not saved. They don't have the Spirit of God. They can't understand why this is God's word, because they don't even have the Spirit of God in the first place. And that's why people want to reject the name of Jesus Christ. They want to reject this Bible as truth. They want to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not saved. They don't have they hear the name Jesus and they reject that. Not saved. If you can hear the name of Jesus and say, that's not the Lord, you're not saved. Simple as that. That's why it's such an important issue. And we can see right here from these verses that unsaved people, they can't hear God's word. And that's why everyone who rejects the name of Jesus Christ is not saved. If we think about this too, about the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. All they knew was the Son of God. They knew about the Trinity. Even in Genesis, it says, let us make God in our image. So even people in the Old Testament understood the Trinity, maybe not as much as we do today, because the New Testament reveals that and it's much more clear in the New Testament, but they still knew about the Son. I mean, even unsaved Nebuchadnezzar saw the Son of God in the fire. He knew about the Son. So they knew about the name of Jesus Christ, or they didn't know necessarily about the name of Jesus in the Old Testament, but they did know about the Son. And so if we look at the New Testament, how has it delivered us in English? How did we even get the King James Bible? Did it just drop down out of the sky like these Ruckmanites believe? No, it was actually translated from Greek into English. That's how we got the King James Bible, is it was pinned down in Greek and it was written into English. That's how we got the Bible in the first place. And if you look at the Greek manuscripts, what is the name of Jesus? What does it say? Because in the Old Testament doesn't say the name of Jesus. That's in the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew originally. The New Testament was written in Greek. So if you go to the Greek New Testament, what name does it call Jesus? It's spelled I-E-S-O-U-S. What does that say? Jesus. Jesus, right? In Spanish, what's another way we can call Jesus? Jesus, right? That's how you say it. That's his name, Jesus. If you take the Greek, Jesus, you change it into English, what do you have? Jesus. That's where we get his name. That's how it was translated. Where did Yeheshua come from? Where's that in the Bible? Can you find me that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Where is Yahweh? I haven't seen it. If this is the word of God, shouldn't it be in there? Wouldn't we have his name? No, it says the Lord Almighty. It says Jehovah. It says God. It says the Father. It says the Word. It says Jesus Christ. It doesn't say Yahshua. It doesn't say Yahweh. You know what this is? This is a strange doctrine that people just want to kind of use because people just want to hear some new thing, right? It's just, oh, wow, did you hear? The name of our Savior is actually not Jesus. You know what it is? Yahweh. Oh, wow, really? Yahweh, I haven't heard that before. Oh, Yeshua. Oh, yeah, come tell me about it. It's just some new thing. It's like the people in Athens, right? Talks about the New Testament in Acts. They just wanted to hear some new thing. Oh, wow. You know, I've never heard this before. And it's how people get led away. They bring up some new doctrine, some damnable heresy, and they just lead people away with that. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says his name is Jesus. And that's how it was given to us from Greek into English. And some people attack this, will say, well, we didn't have the letter J previously. Like that was a recent invention a few hundred years ago. So how could his name be Jesus if it didn't actually, you know, if the letter J wasn't around several hundred years ago? How do we have it today? Well, you think about it this way. It's spelled I-E-S-O-U-S in Greek. You would pronounce that with a Y sound, like Jesus, right? Well, for an example, in Spanish, you could pronounce, in Spanish, you have the phrase like me llamo, right? That's how you say my name is, me llamo Duncan, okay? Hola, mucho gusto, me llamo Duncan. I could also pronounce it, me llamo. I could say it with a J pronunciation. So just to say, like, because they didn't have the J in their alphabet doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't have that sound in their language. Think about it this way, like, do you think for thousands of years nobody ever made the J sound? Like, nobody, it's so complicated. They could never come up with the J sound. So just because it's spelled like that doesn't even mean that they didn't say Jesus, like, with the J sound, just like in Spanish. In Spanish, it's spelled, llamo, it's spelled L-L-A-M-O. That's how you spell it in Spanish. And you normally read it, depending where you're at, you'd say llamo with a Y, or you would say it with a J pronunciation. So it's just a bad argument. People try to deny the name of Jesus Christ, and that's one thing they'll try to throw at you, like, well, J is a recent invention. They never said the name Jesus before. It's false doctrine. It's heresy. So there's many ways to say the name of Jesus in different languages, right? In English, we got Jesus. In Spanish, we got Jesus. Tagalog, same thing, Jesus. Easy one for you. And then in Greek, what is it? Jesus. So just to give you some of the translations there from other languages. But in English, where do we ever see, that doesn't even sound like, how does Jesus sound like Yahweh or Yahshua? Like, that's not even close. There's no resemblance in that. And so it's just a strange doctrine. And it's very strange. The Bible warns of people bringing you strange doctrines. It sounds strange to you. Your ears should perk up. Like, what is he trying to tell me right now? Is this somebody I should be listening to? If he's trying to change the name of my Savior, what's going on here? That should be red flags going up right there. And so go ahead and turn to 2 John. Yeah, 2 John. Only one chapter towards the end of your Bible for Revelation. I'm going to read for you 1 John 2:22. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So if somebody denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. He's not saved. If you don't have the Son, the Bible says you don't have the Father. So who denies the Christ? Well, the Jews deny that Jesus is the Christ. They're Antichrist. So why are you going to let a Jewish rabbi come tell you the name of our Savior? He's Antichrist. They're trying to take the place of Christ. They're saying Christ never even came. They're saying Jesus is not the Messiah. And then Muslims also deny that Jesus is the Son. So again, they don't have the Father. Because the Muslims want to say that we worship the same God as them. But what does our Bible say? Bible says if you don't got the Son, you ain't got the Father. So the Jews aren't saved, the Muslims aren't saved, and people who deny that Jesus is the name of the Christ, they don't have the Father. What does it say in 1 John 2? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. If you're going to deny the Son of Jesus Christ, you don't got the Father either. It says in 2 John, look at verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. What he's saying here is that, look, there's a lot of deceivers out there. A lot of deceivers are entered the world, and they confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. If you're going to say that Jesus didn't come in the flesh and it was somebody else, Yeshua or Yahshua, look, you're not confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. How are you saved? This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He's trying to take the place of Christ. He's trying to deceive you. He said, look to yourselves, that we don't lose those things which you have wrought. But it says in verse number 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. These people who reject the name of Jesus Christ, they don't have God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if you got the Son, you got the Father also. They go hand in hand. So if you're going to deny that Jesus Christ, if you're going to deny his name, you don't have the Father. But what's the practical example it gives for you in 2 John? Verse number 10, if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. You know what that means? If somebody's trying to bring you this strange heresy, they're trying to change the name of God, know what it says? Don't receive him in your house. It says, don't even bid him Godspeed. Don't even say, God bless you. Don't be a, because it's saying you're a partaker of his evil deeds. Say, hey, God bless you, brother, you know, whatever. Now you're partaking of his evil deeds. If you say, hey, have a good day, you're partaking of his evil deeds. If somebody's going to try to bring you damnable heresy, it says, don't even bring him in your house. I talked to this one guy out of Seoul, and he's like, yeah, the Mormons come over, and Jehovah's Witnesses come over into his house. I'm just like, 2 John 1:11, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you receiving all these false prophets in your head? Like, he thinks it's a good thing, right? He's just like, yeah, I'm letting all these people, we're talking about the Bible, we're having Bible studies. So I'm like, no, that's not good. Don't do that. Don't receive them. Don't even bid them Godspeed. So if somebody wants to deny Jesus Christ come in the flesh, that's a liar. He's a deceiver and an antichrist. And people who don't abide in the doctrine of Jesus, of the Christ, Jesus Christ, they are not saved. And if you believe he has a different name, then you're saying it's a different person. If you're going to deny his name of our Savior is Jesus Christ, you're saying it's a different person. And it's interesting because there is a heresy about every aspect of Jesus Christ. I don't notice that with other religions. Like, every single aspect of Jesus Christ is attacked. His death, his resurrection, the Jews, they reject that wholeheartedly. The Muslims, they reject that wholeheartedly. Even so fake so-called Christians, they deny the deity of Christ. They attack every aspect of the gospel. They attack the Trinity, right? The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, they'll preach oneness. It's like every aspect of the gospel, there's just some attack. You know what? There's attack out there about the name of Jesus Christ. Not only everything else about him, but his actual name. There's an attack out there, and we need to be ready to defend against these people, because these people who are to deny all these things about the gospel, they're preaching damnable heresy. And you know his name is Jesus, but other people out there, they're trying to change that. I mentioned these earlier, but just to give you some of their beliefs, this is the sacred name movement. If you look up on Wikipedia, this is what they believe. So it says, the sacred name movement, SNM, began with the Church of God, Seventh Day in Christianity. Now, that's a horrible start to get your doctrine. If you say, well, it began with the Church of God, Seventh Day. It sounds like Seventh Day Adventist to me. Is there a saved Seventh Day Adventist person out there? No. So you're off to a really bad start. It's like, yeah, this is where we got our doctrine from, all these unsaved people who want to start celebrating the Sabbath again. That's why it's Seventh Day. They practice the Sabbath. In Christianity, propagated by Clarence Orville Dodd in the 1930s, so more recent, within you know, the last 100 years or so, 1930s, which claims that it seeks to conform Christianity to its Hebrew root. So it says it's trying to change Christianity. It's trying to conform Christianity to get it back to the Hebrew roots in practice, belief, and worship. So notice what they're trying to do. They're trying to change your beliefs. They're trying to conform your Christian beliefs to these Hebrew roots in your practice, so the way you serve God, what your beliefs are, what you actually believe as a Christian, and your worship, how you serve God. The best known distinction of the sacred name movement is its advocacy of the use of the sacred name Yahweh. That's how you can tell it's sacred name people. It's pretty obvious, right? They'll say Yahweh. And just to go along with that, Yahweh, the reconstructed proper name of the God of Israel and the use of the original Hebrew name Jesus, transliterated as Yeshua or Yahashua or Yahshua. That's strange to me. I've never heard these names before, and that's like red flags in my mind. Like, where are they getting all these names? I don't find any of those names in my Bible. SNM believers also generally keep many of the Old Testament laws and ceremonies, such as the seventh-day Sabbath, Torah festivals, and kashrut food laws. So the sacred name movement, they want to change the name of God. They want to change the way you practice, the way you believe, the way you worship. They want to change the name of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And then they want you to start keeping ceremonies such as the Sabbath. So they want to draw you back into bondage, and now you got to start keeping the Sabbath. They want to start celebrating the festivals and things like that, which I don't see any of them doing any sacrifices. If they want to bring me back to the Hebrew roots, where are all the sacrifices at? It's like they're partial in the law. It's like, well, they want to command you to be circumcised, but then they don't want to do the other stuff. It's funny how that works, isn't it? And then they want to bring you back into food laws. And you start seeing these people, these Hebrew roots people, they want to, no, you can't eat shellfish, and you can't eat pork. Look, you can eat pork, all right? Well, God has cleansed that call now uncommon, right? The Bible says every creature of God is I don't want to misquote it. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, which is funny because 1 Timothy 4 also talks about doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, this is a key sign that you're talking to a Hebrew roots movement. If it wasn't the name, obviously, they'll say the name Yahshua or whatever. It says in 1 Timothy 4, look at verse number 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." That's us, right? "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." In the New Testament, God cleansed all food. In the Old Testament, there were laws. There are certain things you weren't allowed to eat. God said it. And they had spiritual representations and symbolic in a lot of ways. But it's in the New Testament, every creature of God is good. You can eat whatever you want. But these Hebrew roots people, these sacred name people, they want to bring you back under the law. They want to bring you back under the thing. The Old Testament is vanished and done away with. We're in the New Testament. And the New Testament says we can eat whatever we want. It says also in Colossians, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days." Look, nobody's supposed to be able to judge me if I don't keep the Sabbath day. Why? Because it's done away with. Why are these people, they're trying to go back to these Hebrew roots. They're trying to go back and make you follow the Old Testament. And they might say, oh, well, that's not what saves us. But really, if you pin them down on it, they think that's salvation. They pretty much want to make you a Jew. Like in the Old Testament, the Jews thought by keeping the law that would bring them salvation. So that's pretty much their end goal. They're trying to get you to stop being a Christian and start becoming a Jew and start keeping all of the Old Testament laws and the festivals and the Sabbath days and the food laws. That's what this movement's really about. It's a Judaizing movement. And we got enough fake Christians who worship the Jews too much already. The Bible says they're the synagogue of Satan, okay? They either are Jews, they call themselves Jews, but they're not. So I'll continue reading the sacred name movement. It says, I'll skip some of this just for sake of time. But most groups within the sacred name movement use a sacred name Bible others have produced since Trina. So Since this movement, now they're getting their own Bible, because the Bible never uses the words they want to use, so what do? They change it. Isn't that convenient? So they start changing the Word of God. So every time it says Jesus, they take it out, and they'll put Yahshua. And now they got their own Bible to support their claims, so they're changing the Bible. It says the S&M rejects Easter and Christmas as pagan in origin, and instead observes the holy days of Leviticus 23, such as the Passover and the Feast of Weeks. This movement, look at this, is also non-Trinitarian because it rejects the doctrine of the Trinity as unbiblical. So is this where you want to get your doctrine from? The Seventh-day Adventist cult, they believe in a works-based salvation. They want to start making you keep the Sabbath and saying you can't eat all these certain foods, and they reject the Trinity. I mean, is this where you want to get your doctrine from? These people aren't even saved. This is a bad start for them. It says, however, groups within the movement have differed on doctrinal points such as wearing of beards and what constitutes a Sabbath rest. So even amongst themselves, they don't know what they believe. Look, you can have a beard. That's okay. Jesus had a beard. Sorry, Bill McGregor. Make him angry. So obviously all these things are wrong. And we could see like these other weird cults. They'll get into these heresies because they don't even have the Spirit of God. But the devil also wants to influence saved churches as well. So it's pretty obvious we can see all these unsaved churches. I mean, it should be obvious they're going to fall into heresies. But this can creep into Baptist churches too, this stupid movement. There's people like Sam Gipp. He's a traveling evangelist, and he literally goes around to all these different Baptist churches preaching for them. And you'd say, well, yeah, it's obviously all these unsaved devils. They're going to preach all this weird stuff about Jesus. But even people like Sam Gipp, who call themselves a Christian, who call themselves a Baptist, and they claim they believe in the King James Bible, even they're starting to bring in this kind of crap. So Sam Gipp, he's a former pastor, now he's a current evangelist. Turn to Matthew chapter 1 again. I don't know if y'all turned there earlier, Matthew chapter 1. Sam Gipp got up and said to this congregation, he said that Mary and Joseph named Jesus wrong. What is he doing? He's attacking the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not calling him Yahweh or anything, but again, it's attack on the name of Jesus Christ. And so he turns to Matthew chapter 1, and he proceeds to tell the people that they named Jesus wrong. So what he does, he gets up in the congregation, and he goes, turn to Matthew 1:22. And then he starts reading. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he gets up behind the pulpit and he says, look, God says that his name should be called Emmanuel. But then Mary and Joseph called his name Jesus. He said, why'd they call him Jesus? They're supposed to call him Emmanuel. So he's literally teaching that they named the Savior wrong. like that he's saying that they should have called him Emmanuel, but they called him Jesus just because that's like they're being rebellious to God. But it's funny because he skips verse number 21. Just go up a couple of verses. I'm going to go back to 20 just so we can get more context. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel of the Lord commanded Joseph and Mary, said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He didn't say Emmanuel. Emmanuel is who Jesus is. He's God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, that it's God with us. But what's the name? His name is Jesus. What do they call him? Jesus, because that's what God commanded. So this is a guy who pretends to be a Baptist, and he goes into these Baptist churches, and he's teaching the people the name of your Savior is actually not Jesus Christ. That's what he's teaching. This is a quote. This is what he said. Sam Gipp said, nobody is going to say, oh, let's go to Jerusalem to see Jesus. They're going to say, let's go to Jerusalem and see God with us. So he's talking about the millennial reign when Jesus comes back and he's ruling and reigning on earth. They just said, nobody's going to go up to him. Nobody's going to call him Jesus. They're going to say God with us. So he's attacking the name of Jesus Christ. So it's not just all these weirdos, these cults out there, these sacred names. This is infecting Baptist churches. And Baptists will just let a person like Sam Gibb come in their church and preach this garbage. And they're going to say, he's going to tell them that the name of your Savior is not Jesus Christ. Look, if you hear that kind of stuff, get up and leave. I don't care who it is. What did Paul say? He said, though we were an angel from heaven. Paul didn't care who it was. If it's another Jesus, if it's another gospel, don't receive it. Doesn't even matter if it's me. If it's me telling you that the name of our Savior is not Jesus, leave. Doesn't matter who it is. And that's what these people, these churches are messed up because they're going to allow somebody like in there. They need to leave. They need to go to their pastor and be like, do you see what Sam Gibb is teaching the people that the name of our Savior is not Jesus? Sam Gibb, on his website, he has a, because he goes around all these different churches and he'll preach for them. And these churches are allowing people like them. And I got a list of here of churches that are having him scheduled to preach. So these are some churches that you might want to avoid. Galilean Baptist Church in Plymouth, Michigan. They had him come preach. I believe this is an old list. This is from January. Hope Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. Mount Hope Baptist Church, Harrison, Ohio. Grace Baptist Church, Esta Baptist Church, Sadie Acres Baptist Church, White Pine Baptist Church in Moscow, Indiana. Trinity Baptist Church, Helenwood, Tennessee. I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of churches that are just allowing a devil like Sam Gipp in their church. And they're going to allow him to come teach their people that Jesus is not the name of the Messiah. What is going on with Christian churches today? Why are independent Baptist churches or even, you know, denominational Baptist churches like the ones in the Southern Baptist Convention, why are they allowing these heretics to come in their church? What is going on with our world today where people are receiving this kind of preaching that are the name of our Savior is not Jesus Christ? Where did this come from? This is not the Spirit of God. And we need to be aware of that. If anybody comes to you preaching another Jesus, get away from that person. Don't receive them. Don't listen to them. You may say, well, why is this a big deal? This is a salvation issue. Many people will go to hell by being drawn away with this false doctrine, this damnable heresy. That's why it's important. And we need to be ready to defend the name of our Savior. I wanted to talk about Sam Gipp as well, some things I skipped over. Because some people want to defend him as well. They'll say, well, it's just a slip of the tongue. It's like, he preaches multiple times. This isn't a slip of the tongue. You don't just accidentally say that the name of the Savior is not Jesus Christ in the first place. And this wouldn't be his first slip of the tongue. Sam Gipp was also the one that said Jesus is not his Messiah. Look, if Jesus ain't your Messiah, you ain't saved. You better have Jesus as your Messiah, or you're not saved. And it's such a stupid doctrine because the Bible even says in the Old Testament, prophesying about Jesus, he's a light to the Gentiles. Look, Jesus wasn't just the Messiah for the Jews. He's for the whole world. He's for the Gentiles. That's for the whole entire world, these Jew-worshipping people. Just praying them, got their flags in their church. It just makes me sick. They just want to praise the synagogue of Satan. So, again, why is it such a big deal? This is a salvation issue. And here's what I think as well. Now, I don't think a saved person would ever reject the name of Jesus Christ, but I believe that you hearing this preaching, that could kind of poison your mind. Just like the Church of Galatians, they start accepting this kind of doctrine. Like, yeah, his name's Jesus, but yeah, it's also Yahshua and, you know, Yeshua. And you start accepting all these things. So, if somebody is going to deny the name of our Savior is Jesus Christ, they're not saved. 100%, I don't believe they're saved. Now, could a saved person get a little bit mixed up? Yeah, I think that's possible. But are they ever going to deny the name of Jesus? No. That's where I draw the line. If you start denying the name of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Now, a Christian might hear some of this doctrine and be like, yeah, oh, it might be Jesus, you know, it might be Yeshua too, you know. But the end goal, what they're trying to do, they're trying to get you to renounce the name of Jesus Christ. If y'all haven't seen this documentary yet, Brother Matt Powell, he made a documentary with Pastor Anderson. It's called The Sacred Name Movement, or Sacred Name. I could be a little bit wrong on the title of the documentary, but it's on YouTube. But in his testimony, he said that he was with these kind of people. I don't know exactly. I don't think he mentioned what kind of church it was. But that's what their goal was, these Hebrew roots kind of people. And eventually, after he's there for a period of time, they eventually brought him aside, and they're saying, look, if you want to stay a part of this congregation, then you're going to have to renounce the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it ends up. See, they want to lure you in, say, you know, yeah, the name of our Savior, Jesus, they'll talk to you about Jesus, but then also just slowly implement other names. Yeah, do you know it's Yeshua? They'll just slowly start you know, getting you to believe false doctrine. And eventually, that's the end of that road. Eventually, they want you to reject the name of Jesus Christ. And Matt Powell, he's a brother of Christ. He's saved. He said, no, he left that. He said, no, the name of my Savior is Jesus Christ. But that's the end game of these people. So what should you do when you hear people bringing you this doctrine? What it say in 2 John? Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. If you hear people preaching this doctrine, don't listen to them. Get away from them. They're not your friend. They're not trying to teach you good things from the Bible. They're trying to add to the Bible. They're trying to corrupt the Bible. They're trying to change the name of your Savior. And you better be ready to, you better be prepared to be able to bear with them. You start hearing that, you turn to Philippians chapter 2, say, no, in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. We'll finish with that. Philippians chapter 2. So what do you do if you ever hear this kind of preaching from these false prophets? Don't receive them. Don't invite them inside. Don't talk to them. Don't listen to them on YouTube. Because it says if somebody's trying to bring you this doctrine, this isn't just some ignorant lost person. This is the false prophet who's trying to damn you. If they're bringing to you this doctrine, that's when you don't receive it. That's when you don't listen to them. You don't even say, have a good day. It says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Because these people bringing you this damnable heresy, they're evil, they're satanic, they're wicked. Don't be nice to them. Don't treat them with respect. They're trying to give you damnable heresy. What's to respect about that? It's like, they're not even a Christian. They're trying to get you to believe all this garbage. Now, so the only thing you really should do is just rebuke them sharply and leave. If they're trying to bring you this doctrine. But if you come across somebody and they're mixed up on this doctrine, what do? Well, you just try to show them the truth. If you're coming to them, you're trying to show them the truth. Titus 3:9, it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of his self. So what does it say in Titus chapter 3? Well, it says, a man is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So if you meet somebody and they're caught up in this weird doctrine, or they start saying Yahweh or Yeshua or whatever, you try to preach them the gospel. You try to teach them the name of the Savior. You give them two admonitions. If they don't receive it, reject. Because he's subverted. He's the deceived one. You've tried. He's the one sinning. Says it's not your fault. You did your part. You tried to show them the truth. He's sinning. He sinneth, being condemned of himself. So if you run across these kind of people, what do? Try and get them saved, first of all. Or if they're a little bit mixed up on them, try to show them the truth. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and read them these verses. It says, let me go back to it. Okay. Philippians chapter 2. Let me just turn here. Oh, there it is. Hiding out over here. So just remember this spot in your Bible. If there's one thing you remember or where to go, if somebody starts attacking the name of Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter number 2. It says in verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So if you're talking to somebody and they're mixed up on this, look, you show them here. Look, it said, tell them. It says his name is Jesus. It says every tongue is going to confess to them. Show them another scripture that his name is Jesus. And if you tell them twice and they say, well, I still think it's this, reject. Go on. Move to the next person. They're already subverted. How are you going to convert them? You can't. They're not receiving it at the time. Hopefully they will later. I don't think all these people are necessarily reprobate, although I think a lot of these Judaizing rabbis are, but There is hope for these kind of people. And what do? You give them a couple admonitions, and if they don't receive it, reject. Don't waste your time. I mean, if they hear the name Jesus and they don't love that, look, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. If they don't love the name of Jesus Christ, move on to the next person. There's no hope for them. If they don't love that name, that's the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should hold that in great respect. And when you hear somebody using a different name for our Savior, rebuke them sharply. Say, no, his name is Jesus. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's my Savior. That's how we get to heaven. If they don't want to receive that, fine. They're going to have to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. And they better repent and believe the gospel. Otherwise, they will be damned. So give them a couple admonitions, but if they don't receive it, move on to the next door. So let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And just remember this, Philippians 2:11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of our Savior is Jesus Christ. Don't ever let anybody mess with that name. All right, let's bow our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for sending your Son to pay for our sins. And Father, I just pray you'd help us to be able to bear with people who want to try to attack the name of our Savior. And Lord, open the eyes of the people who are mixed up on this doctrine. And we love you, Father, and we just pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.